Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians, the first three games of their opening series in Oakland, you couldn't have asked for more, went as better than could be expected. But Sunday's loss on a walk-off walk by Eli Morgan with the bases loaded in the ninth inning kind of takes the shine off of what was otherwise an outstanding series against, admittedly, an opponent that was not exactly at the top of its game in Oakland. What were your takeaways from just, let's start with overall the first four-game series, and then specifically the way things ended on Sunday?
Yeah, Joe, I thought it was a good series, a good way to open the season. You take three out of four, regardless of the opponent. It does that was a good start by Cleveland. And, you know, you've got to build on that. You've got to keep that going, and they'll be you know, the last game was a tough one. They basically, you know, did nothing for seven innings. Paul Blackburn just, you know, shut them down, the Oakland right-hander. He was very, very good. Then they get back into the game with three runs in the eighth, and you can feel the A's just waiting to get beat. Joe, that might be the worst defensive team I've seen in a long time. They made seven errors in the four games. The shortstop made three, and he almost cost them a game Sunday when he booted Ramirez's ball to him. So it was a tough game to lose just because they came back and were in position to take the lead and I would think probably win it when Stephen Vogt put the squeeze bun on, or the safety squeeze, and it came up empty in the ninth inning.
Yeah, Bo Naylor getting picked off of third base when Gabriel Arias couldn't connect on the squeeze bunt. Naylor strays too far off the bag, and he's an out in the eighth inning. I believe at the time it was first and third with nobody out when Naylor was caught. So still a chance for them to score that go ahead run, but they were unable to do so. In general, I think, you know, a positive vibe coming out of that, winning three out of four, but you're just sort of looking back going, you know, this team should be 4-0 right now. They had so many opportunities late in that game to win. I think one of the overarching questions about this team that you started to see maybe some sort of clarity on was their effectiveness against left-handed pitching. Were they going to be able to hit lefties this year? Was this sort of mix and match lineup with all the flexibility and all of the you know, guys being able to play multiple positions and multiple spots in the batting order? And I think really the herald of that is David Fry and the series that he had hitting against left-handers. You know, what do you did you walk away from these four games thinking, you know, maybe there's a sort of a shift in the wind about the way the Guardians are game planning and attacking against left-handed pitching?
Yeah, I really did, Joe. Now, you know, they beat Alex Wood, who's an experienced lefty in the opener. Then in game three, they come back and really hammer J.P. Sears, another left-hander that they faced before. So they did a really good job against that. And I like the, you know, Vogt has like he really can roll out, the platoon opposites for against lefties and righties. In against Wood, they get seven runs on six hits and three and a third innings. You know, he's gone. And then against Sears, you know, he's gone in four innings and he doesn't even make it through four, gives up six hits on five runs. And he's come up with an interesting combination when it comes, you know, to facing lefties.
Yeah, and it's not just load up your lineup with right-handed bats. It's being able to pick and choose the spots where guys are going to be effective in the lineup. And I thought putting David Fry as a cleanup hitter, I mean that sends a message to him that gives him that confidence. Now I think he's going to be able to go through the next couple of series, the next couple of months, and know that. You know, these guys have his back and they think that he can get in there and do the job against a left-handed starter. I think that's pretty strong. Their batting average just through those four games, 367 against left-handed pitching with a 421 on base and slugging 531. I think that's where that paid off, is the extra base hits, the number of extra base hits they were able to put up against that left-handed pitching in that series, six doubles, a triple, no home runs yet against a lefty, but those are coming. So, seriously, they're looking a lot better than they did at any point last season against a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, against lefties and righties, Joe. I mean, in game two, Logan Allen's start, they were able to put seven left-handed hitters, including switch hitters, in the lineup against the right-hander, Ross Stripling. And, Vogt's mantra is, make the lineup to beat the starter. And that proved he did a good job of that, three of the first four games.
Yeah, that was interesting to see, fun to see. We also saw, some surprises, some surprise power out of some guys who we weren't expecting. Stephen Kwan with a 425-foot home run in I believe it was in Saturday's game. What got into Stephen Kwan this weekend?
Yeah, Kwan was playing in front of his family and friends. He's from Fremont, California, which is about 20 minutes from the Coliseum. He said he used to go to the ballpark here. He grew up a Giants fan, but he attended some games with Oakland, the A's game. So he had a cheering section here. So he always seems to play well here. And the game, the 12-3 game on Friday night, he reaches base in his last four at bats. He goes single, home run, then a walk. He scores three runs. So yeah, he had a big day, big game, and a big series.
And the other guy in the lineup that had a big series, Andrés Giménez, six hits, a couple of doubles, a triple, drives in four runs, now batting 400. With an 1193 OPS in 19 plate appearances. Andrés Giménez looks like the Andrés Giménez of 2022. Granted, again, it's against the A's. It's not against the best pitching staff in Major League Baseball that they might be facing coming up in the next 3 days. We'll see how Andrés carries things into Seattle. But after four games in Oakland, it certainly has to be a confidence boost. It has to be a little reassuring for Vogt to see basically one of the linchpins of that offense. If Andrés Giménez is able to do what he did in those first four games consistently this year, that's a positive sign for Cleveland's offense.
No doubt about it. And, you know, Vogt hit him second twice. I think, yeah, second twice, and really, really looked good at the plate, like you were saying, Joe. But he really looked good defensively. I mean, he made two plays in this series that kind of, you know, showed why he's the platinum glove winner and a two-time gold glove winner. Just, you know, he has not lost a step defensively. He looked better than ever.
No, and it was almost like every time you saw him go to the dirt and die for it, you knew that it was going to be a play that he finished off. You could almost predict that it was going to be an out as you're watching it happen in real time. Just a lot of excitement there for Andrés Giménez and the way he plays defense. But again, in a ballpark where you can hit triples and you can run a little bit, the Guardians, Giménez and, you know, the Guardians, they all showed you know, flashes of, I think, what this team needs to be offensively in order to win games. We didn't see a lot of home runs. We saw, what, two home runs in the series? One, the Jose Ramirez home run, I thought, was pretty remarkable. That thing cut like a laser through wind and rain and all sorts of nastiness to get out of the ballpark. And then Kwan with a moonshot, you know, you're not going to be relying on Stephen Kwan to hit home runs this year, but good to see Jose Ramirez, you know, inject a little bit of power into that that lineup.
Yeah, he and he struck fast, Joe, on Friday night, the two-run homer in the first inning, then really kind of propelled them to a 6-4 win. And like you were saying, that wind was howling in from right field, and he kind of hit it low on a line drive and kind of got through the gale. So it was impressive. And then the second on Saturday, he starts the first inning again with a drive to center field that J.J. Bleday, Oakland center fielder, you know, pulled back into the park, or he would have had two home runs in as many games.
Yeah, that was an excellent play by Bleday. He decided to wait until Sunday to turn in the defense that Oakland had been lacking throughout the series, and that really saved them, because those two runs would have been important later on in the day for Cleveland. Really just looking up and down the lineup, looking up and down the batting order, every player that played for the Guardians, with the exception of Bo Naylor, got into a game, got a hit, was, you know, through the first four. I think Vogt pretty much accomplishes what he needs to in that regard, and making sure, you know, after the first series, everybody's gotten some innings and, you know, gotten their feet under them in terms of getting into a major league game. And that's you know, we'll talk here in a minute about the bullpen and the rotation. But as far as the lineup goes, as far as the offensive side of things goes, I think you couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah, he's keeping everyone engaged. He's, you know, really mixing up his lineups, you know, lefties, righties, day in, day out, into four games. Bo Naylor starts two games. Austin Hedges starts two at catcher. And they just keep flip-flopping. You know, Brian Rocchio started the first three games at short. Arias started Saturday's game at third, and then comes back on Sunday at short. So he's stressing that flexibility, that versatility that this lineup has from top to bottom.
Yeah, and you even got Estevan Florial in there as a DH, and you know, that's everybody sort of played a part, and I think that's going to be another theme throughout the season as well with Stephen Vogt. And what was your takeaway just from, you know, being around the clubhouse post game, especially after the three wins, but even after the loss, just in terms of how, you know, Vogt has things going in that clubhouse?
Yeah, very confident clubhouse, Joe. They're having fun. You know, Tyler Beede brought in a WWE, like a championship belt, a Guardians championship belt, before the series started, and they've been presenting it to the MVP of the game. I think let's see, Giménez won it, Vogt won it, Giménez, Kwan, and I can't remember the guy who won it the first game.
Did they give it to both?
David Fry won it the first game. Okay. Yeah. So, and that's gone over really well. I think it's, you know, it seems like a lot of players are fired up about that. Vogt said, you know, it's kind of an organic thing. You know, the coaches had nothing to do with it. The players brought it in, and he said that's how you build culture on a relatively new team.
Yeah, what happens when they go on a four-game losing streak? Where's the belt go? Does it
get locked away
in a chest or something like that and taken to the next town on the road trip? I wonder come August, you know, what's gonna become of that belt if it's still gonna be a thing throughout the year. But again, I like it. You know, we've done entire podcasts about the gimmicks that these players do to stay engaged. The home run celebrations, the tridents, and the, you know, the crowns and all the jackets and that kind of stuff. So who knows? We'll see what develops. But we were sort of waiting for the Guardians to get their thing like that. And now maybe it's a post-game belt instead of any sort of home run celebration. Who knows? They might even develop something like that. But
yeah, Beatty said they might bring the belt into the dugout for home run celebration, but they weren't sure on that.
Wow, that's interesting. Oh, okay, that could be the next step in the evolution. All right, I want to remind our listeners, the first series of the season is under wraps. The Guardian subtext is the best way to get updates from the ballpark, from Hoynesy, from me, throughout the season. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346. It's $3.99 a month to subscribe, and we'd love to hear from you throughout the season on Guardian subtext. Hoynesy, the bullpen actually, you know, looked pretty good at points. I want to highlight a couple of guys here. Just from their outings and their efforts so far. Let's start with Cade Smith. He appeared in one game, threw two innings and struck out. He faced seven batters, struck out five of them. Pretty much couldn't have gone better for Cade Smith in terms of his major league debut.
Yeah, he had to wait, Joe, too. He was riding the bubble until the roster became official a couple hours before Thursday's season opener, because they had told him, okay, you're on the club, maybe, you know, if we add another player, if we add another pitcher, you know, you're going back to the minors. So they finally told him, I believe Thursday or no, Wednesday morning during the workout at the Coliseum, they told him. And, there's a kind of a sidebar to this story. He has become an American citizen, a U.S. citizen. He's from Canada, and in the process, he couldn't go home to Canada for a year. So he's been in the United States, staying with his in-laws' family in Sacramento, and he couldn't go back and see his family in Canada. And during that time, his dad, Tim, had open heart surgery in Canada, and he couldn't even go back then. So the family came down. They were in Oakland for this series. Everything, you know, his dad was able to travel. So they came down and they saw the Oakland series. They're coming to Seattle for this series. So it was pretty good. It was a great story.
Yeah, and it's really nice to see the reaction on TV. They showed the family where they were sitting and how almost like they were surprised or shocked when he went back out there for that second inning. They were, excited for him. And again, he looked, you know, pretty dominant. Again, you're facing the A's guy. It's a caveat. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again, but you're still out there on a major league mound for the first time, and to go two innings, five strikeouts. I think it's a good indication of just what they think of his stuff and how much they believe in him. Now that gives him the confidence to sort of believe in himself, and maybe that spins him forward, and he has a little bit more confidence going forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. This is a guy who had a great spring. He threw like that all spring. And he, you know, I mean, he can bring it too. He was throwing, you know, 96 to 98, 99 miles an hour. He's not afraid. He's throwing the ball in the strike zone, challenging hitters. And he looks the part. And, you know, he's going to get an opportunity in this bullpen because they opened the season with four or five relievers on the IL. And that's how, you know, he won a job in the first place.
Right. Another guy who looks the part right now and looks good in a bullpen role, in a late inning relief role. Hunter Gaddis came in. He appeared in two games, through two innings, struck out three batters, three of the seven batters that he faced. Just what'd you like from what you saw out of Hunter Gaddis as a reliever? Because we've seen him mostly as a starter.
Yeah, and they used him in a lot of different ways in spring training, Joe. He was pitching two or three innings, then toward the end of camp when they knew they were going to be shorthanded in the pen, when they knew they had openings in the pen, they started to bring him back to a one or two inning reliever, and he has just done a great job. He had a great spring, and he made the ball club, and he hasn't missed a beat. That whole bullpen, Joe, the bullpen in the A series, they allow three earned runs in 15 innings for a 1.80 ERA.
Yeah, that's Barlow with two runs allowed. I don't think that's there were times, even though he allowed those two runs, there were times he looked pretty solid. I liked his first appearance where he was looking like he was snapping off breaking balls left and right, and you know. He'll be okay. I firmly believe that. Another guy who obviously had a couple of shaky appearances, but Eli Morgan got into three games, totaled two innings, faced seven batters, one big walk. That was the walk off with the bases loaded on Sunday. But I've been nervous every time Eli takes the mound lately. And again, it's that confidence. I just don't know that it's there.
Well, you know, he started the series with two scoreless relief appearances, Joe. I thought he looked good. You know, he pitches the opener, a scoreless inning. Then he comes back the next day, another scoreless inning in relief of Logan Allen. And, you know, I'm not sure. That's kind of an impossible situation they put him in Sunday. Bases loaded. You know, you relieve Barlow and it's like no outs and bottom of the ninth. And it's like, OK, kid, go get him. So I don't know. The walk goes on four straight pitches. But, you know, usually that's the decision is made. That the outcome of that game was decided before he stepped on the mound.
Right. That's certainly, something you got to consider when you're talking about that. As far as the starting rotation goes, we saw Bieber. On Thursday, we saw Logan Allen, and on Saturday, we saw Tanner Bibee. Is there any reason to be concerned about Tanner Bibee? In one start, he went four innings, gave up three earned, but really the big thing there, he walked five with four strikeouts. The five walks is something you got to take notice of that. What do you think is going on with Tanner? And this is maybe a carryover a little bit from spring training as well.
Yeah, I think he's grinding, Joe. I think he's just having, you know, we didn't see him in spring training last year, big league spring training. He didn't go through it. He came up, during in late April after he had pitched, after he was pitching well at Columbus, and just kind of hit the ground running, took people by surprise. I think now he's had a full spring with the big league club. This is the first time he's breaking the season with the team, and he just looks like he's off a beat. I think the big thing is he's healthy, his velo is there, and he just he was kind of kicking himself after the game. He just said, "Yeah, I know I've got to throw more strikes. You know, you can't walk five guys. You can't win if you're going to walk five guys."
Yeah, that's the case, and I think a lot of it is sort of between the ears. Like you said, you're saying grinding. I think there's nothing wrong with you know, sort of being caught up with expectations, especially for a young pitcher, a young guy like that. But this is something that needs to get sorted out, because Bibee's going to be a big part of this rotation, and they're going to rely on him a lot this year. So again, that's it's important for Bibee as they move forward. All right, let's take a look at this series against Seattle. Tristan McKenzie, the last of the starters in the rotation to finally get out there and get on the mound. Long time coming, coming back for Tristan McKenzie. What are we expecting tonight out of Tristan and out of the Guardians against a much better quality opponent in the Seattle Mariners?
Yeah, I think Tristan's going to do all right, Joe. He looked good in his last spring training start. I think he struck out 7 and 6 innings against Arizona. He hasn't really faced Seattle a lot. His numbers aren't great in the 2 or 3 starts he's made against them, but he looked healthy, he looked confident, and he had no restrictions.
Oh, that's good. Good to hear. And what are we expecting in terms of this Seattle lineup as they move forward and face the Guardians for the first time this year?
Yeah, I mean they're a solid club. They split their 4-game series season opening series with Boston. They've got power, but you know what they really have, Joe, is starting pitching, and that's going to be a big test for Cleveland.
Yeah, the Emerson Hancock, right-hander, 6'4", 213 pounds. He will be on the mound facing the Guardians tonight in Seattle. Game time is what, 9 o'clock out there, or 9 o'clock back here? What,
6:40?
9:40. So you can watch the game on Bally Sports and. The game's on WTAM and WMMS as well. Hoynes, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll be back to break down tomorrow's game and talk about anything else that happens with the Guardians and the Mariners on the podcast tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.